Please remain standing now for the reading of God's word. In this passage, Jesus has just left Jericho and is approaching the events now that will lead to his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And there's a passage here that, quite frankly, I moved through and didn't pay much attention to. But there is a profound message for us here. Please listen now as I read Matthew 20, verses 29 through 34. And as they went out of Jericho, a great crowd followed him. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, son of David." The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. But they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, son of David." And stopping, Jesus called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." And Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. Please be seated.
Good morning. Today is the first day of Iranian New Year that we call it Nowruz, means new day. Hopefully, we don't need to wait 1 year to celebrate the new year, new day. Every day for us as Christians, as Christ followers, is a new day in Christ Jesus that we have this opportunity to grow in him and know him better and better and more and more. So this is our privilege to come before God with all of this element of worship, with singing song, confessions, prayers. And now this is our time to come to the Lord with and worship him through his eternal word. So before we continue, let's pray together and ask God to open our eyes and mind to see what he provides for us and prepare for us today. Let's to pray. Father, it's a privilege for us to come before you, to sing your praises, to declare your excellencies, to sing of your great love and your mercy in sending Jesus to die for us. What a great privilege for us to exalt you and praise your name together as a body. Father, we're thankful that you brought forth the truth through your word. Father, I pray today that you would open our eyes to see clearly, Lord God, what you intend from your word. I pray we would have no sin in our lives. We would confess it and be right before you and receive your word and allow it to do its work in our lives. We thank you. We are so thankful, Lord, for your eternal word. We ask all of them in Jesus' name. Amen. When we read this passage in Matthew 20, verses 29 to 34, our thought may go directly to the miracle of healing that Jesus did. That is very amazing. That is very easy for understanding. However, that is not the whole point of this miracle, of this event for us. When we go deeper, we will see that it draws us to something else that is very more than a miracle. When we read this story, we have to consider why the story of this healing of two blind men is put here as Jesus goes to Jerusalem to die in follow chapters. We will talk about it later at the end of my sermon, but many years ago, when I came to faith in Iran, I had this opportunity to meet my pastor's mom, who was blind. I think she was the only Iranian Christian who blind that had this blessing to have a Braille Bible. Beside of how she practiced her Christian life as a mother of four kids and as her husband martyred, I had this question in my mind when I compared my situation with her, that what she saw that caused her to become a Christian. Why she can be a Christ follower and many other people reject him and they don't want to follow Christ. Why she accept Jesus when other people reject him. In other words, what blind person can see that seeing are blind to it? The blind see, but the seeing are blind is about the physical blindness versus a spiritual blindness. A spiritual blindness caused us to death because the wage of sin is death. Not even physical death, but more the spiritual death, that is a separation from God eternally. When you are spiritually blind, you cannot see Christ because you hardened your heart and will not come to the knowledge of the Lord and the truth about him. Our physical eyes are totally useless when our mind is blind. This morning, I wish to point out four things. What this blind man realized, on which ground they cried to the Lord, who will be invited to the kingdom of God, and we will see the promise and blessing of the gospel. First, let's see the blind man. What are the blind man realized? Look at the verse 29. And as they went out of Jericho, a great crowd followed him. Matthew 16:21 is the first time that Jesus declared and foretells to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and get suffering and die. And he is on this journey. Jesus and his disciples are near to Jerusalem, and they left Jericho. This Jericho is not the same city of Jericho in Old Testament which Joshua conquered when the Israelites entered to the Promised Land. This is a small city in 18 miles in north of Jerusalem. So when you look at the Gospel of Matthew, wherever Jesus went, you will see a crowd of people gathered and followed him. In the meanwhile, look at the verse 30. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out. It's important to realize that the life for blind people in Jesus' time is much more different than today. In Jesus' time, they were often unable to receive help and kind of different help from people and also the social help. So all of them left them in desperate situation. They are really helpless and homeless. And these two men, one commentator said that they are two of hundreds. So these two men needed help, and they knew what is the reality of their life and their situation. They could not see Jesus, but they knew he was there from the crowd. And may they think by themselves that Jesus would see them if they could capture his attention. Therefore, to capture the attention of Jesus, they cried out loudly and said, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." And the crowd, all crowds are around Jesus, but only these two men said that and recognized Jesus as the Son of David. That is very important because these men saw that Jesus was the fulfillment of all the promises that has been given to David in the Old Testament. That is, we call it Davidic covenant. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and 13, we read, "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." In David's covenant, God promised was that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come from the lineage of David and the tribe of Judah, and he would establish a kingdom that would endure forever. Well, there are two possibilities that these men recognized Jesus was the Son of David. The first possibility is they hear that the age of the promised Messiah would characterize in part by healing to the blind. Isaiah 29:18 says, "In that day, the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind shall see." Also in Luke 7:22, when John the Baptist wants to make sure that this Jesus is the promised Messiah, he sent his disciples to go to Jesus and ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And what happened? Jesus told John's disciples and told them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them." The second possibility is this blind man may have experienced the illuminating work of the Spirit. Remember when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Whatever the case is, whether by a scriptural prophecy or divine illuminating work, these two blind men realized that the man passing by was the promised Messiah, the Son of David, a king from the lineage of David. This understanding is very important because it empowered them to cry out to him and ask help from Jesus. The second point is, on which ground they cried out to Jesus? Notice the ground upon which they cried. These men realized that Jesus, if Jesus was the promised Messiah and respond to their help, it would not be on the basis of their own deserve. Also, it would not be on the basis that he had to. Jesus was not under any kind of obligation to answer them. Biblically, God known by his characteristics that one of them is mercy. Seeking mercy was the only basis these two men approached to Jesus. Jesus would not have been unjust and unfair if he passed by them If he had chosen to heal other people, he would have been completely righteous to keep going. The only basis that he might heal is the basis of mercy. These two blind men declaring Jesus as the Son of David and indicate that they know that Jesus is the Messiah, because the promised Messiah would be the Son of David, and Israelites waiting 100 years for this Messiah because he would be able to help people. And so they cried out to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." But what is mercy? Mercy is simply compassion. God's mercy and compassion is always directed toward people who do not deserve it. Mercy is not justice. Mercy is not grace. Mercy is deliverance from some bad thing that we deserve or have expect to, or have reason to expect. When God shows us compassion, when God exercises forbearance with his people, God is showing his mercy. Mercy is a part of the very character of God, and Jesus embodies this character of God and shows to us. We see it clearly, not only in what Jesus said, but in all that Jesus does. You will remember that Jesus told the story of a Pharisee and the tax collector that they went to temple to pray. In Luke chapter 18, verses 13 and 14, we read this, that, "But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Faith asking for mercy only on basis that God responds. When David sinned so heinously before God, in Psalm 51:1, he prayed and said, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions." In Jude, we read this, "Keep yourself in the love of God, waiting expectantly for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life." And the famous verses in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 16. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach to the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need." Upon recognizing that this Jesus was the promised Messiah, promised King, who came to establish a kingdom, the blind man cried out to him and seeking his mercy. Good news for you and me is, and find in Hebrews chapter 13, 8 verse, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus' mercy is available for you, for me, as the same as it was available for these two blind men. We have to just cry out to Him. We have to come to His presence. We have to recognize who is He and who are we. He is the Son of David, the promised Messiah, and we are sinners who need healing. Not just physical healing, but more importantly, spiritual healing. The third point is, who will be invited to the kingdom of God? Who can come to this kingdom? Certainly, the blind men were correct as they saw before themselves King Jesus, but the action of Christ seems that correct us the false assumption about this kingdom. This story dismisses the notion that our king sits on a pedestal, exalted above all things, and also he is unapproachable and insensitive to his subjects. He is the exalted King of Kings who dwells with the broken and humble people. Look at the verse 31. When the blind man cried out to the Lord, what happened? The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. This is a severe reprimand. The Greek word that used here is content of penalty. It means that you be quiet or else will happen. You have to be quiet or else is a language of these sentences. And it was not just one person who said to them that be quiet. All crowd around Jesus told them that you have to be quiet. They rebuked them. But it did not matter. The crowd did not deter the blind man. They cried one more time, more loudly, and said that, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. We do not know why the crowd did not want that this blind man to bother Jesus, to stop him. But this we do know, that King Jesus is willing to stop and help to those who call on him in faith. The popular idea may have been that these blind men are too insignificant for Jesus to pay any attention to them. They're thinking that they are not important. They are very needy people. The crowd thought that they should be quiet and leave Jesus alone because they are insignificant in their sight. And a lot of other people may think these things about us. But what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 29, for consider your calling, brother, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. The kingdom of God is made up of very insignificant people, broken and bruised people, people who are thinking that they need him, whom the King of Kings stopped to heal them. Not from physical blindness only, but the deadly spiritual blindness. The kingdom of God is made up with all people who confess that they are weak, they are sinners, they do not deserve God's mercy and grace. All who humble themselves, all who know there is no other way to receive salvation except Christ alone. And the last point is the promise and blessing of the gospel. This story is repeated in the Synoptic Gospel, Gospel Mark and Luke, and they are so encouraging. If notice this word in verse 32, I paraphrase all of this same story that we read as this. And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He's calling you." And he commanded him to be brought to him. Here's the promise. When people call upon the name of the Lord in faith and in truth, they soon find that he is calling them. Here is an aspect of the gospel that is so encouraging for us. We read that one in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." When anyone calls upon the name of the Lord in order to be saved, it means he or she is putting hope and trust in God himself, the true God, the real God, the God who reveals himself in Scripture alone. We are not just talking about reciting a mantra that God has to respond to it. We are talking about people who are surrendering themselves to the only true God and his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word saved means to be fully justified by the righteousness of Christ, by faith alone, for eternity in a moment of the time, to be finally and fully glorified in eternal perfection. Here is the wonder and grace of the gospel promise. All who call upon his name, the name of the Lord, will be saved. But more than that, look at verse 33 and 34. They said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be open." And Jesus in pity touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. All who call upon the name of the Lord in faith realize that the Lord is responding. Jesus willingly and graciously, according to his will, granted their request. He asked them that, "What do you want me to do for you?" On receiving their sight, these two men followed him. And that is what a wealth of instruction and encouragement and great teaching we have here. If we look at the whole story in one glance, these two men could not see Jesus physically, but their spiritual eyes were open. And they saw Jesus as the Christ, as the promised Messiah, as the Son of David, as their Lord. They address Jesus as Lord and call him the Son of David two times. They did not give up calling him, even when refused to be silent by the crowd. It is a great blessing to see Jesus as Lord and Christ, and to believe that he is able to save them. Like all of us who call him in faith, when Jesus heard the request of these two blind men, he stopped and answered. And when they asked that they could see, Jesus instantly granted their request. Notice the testimony to Jesus given here. Jesus had compassion to them. This is a blessed truth that has been told us here. No one need fear to cry to Jesus for mercy. and for salvation from the wrath of God. If we are like these two men, two blind men, and come in all humility, in sorrow for our sins, Jesus will save us. He showed his compassion to us and forgive all our sins and iniquity for his sake. The invitation to all to come to him is given in those beautiful and lovely words in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. All who are burdened and heavy laden with their sin and guilt, when they come to Jesus, will find Jesus give them rest for their souls. That is forgiveness of all their sins and the gift of eternal life. The blind see, but the seeing are blind. It means there is much greater blindness than a physical blindness. It is a blindness to our condition before God as sinners. People are blind to their sin and corruption. They are blind to the fact that because of their sin, they are under the wrath and judgment of God, and they are living life on the broad road that lead them to destruction. Because people don't realize this blindness. They have no sense of their need. And because of this, they do not seek healing from this blindness. When a person realizes this blindness and their need, like these two blind men, nothing will put them off seeking Jesus for healing of their blindness. Matthew put these verses before chapter 21 and following chapters as we are going to see the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, and as we see next 2 weeks that how Jesus goes to Jerusalem to die for our sin on cross. Because we have to make decision that which part we are standing. Are we like these two blind men, recognizing that who is he, and come to his presence and confess and asking his mercy to healing us from a spiritual blindness, or like all other people, the crowds we rejected and deny him. That is why we have to see that Jesus, as a son of David, would be able to help us in the time that we need. And we have to consider in this event, in all of our lives, that with God's mercy, we are only able to see him. With God's grace, we are able to come to the throne of grace and seeking the forgiveness of sin. Let's pray together. Father, thanks for your word. I'm so thankful for your grace in opening our eyes. May we be those who praise you and give you thanks for what you have done in Christ Jesus for us. May we not forget so great a salvation that we receive in Christ Jesus. May we not set aside in our heart and mind that what you have done for us, Lord Jesus. May you receive all glory and honor. In the gracious name of the Lord Jesus, I ask, Amen.